All right, if you have your Bible, take your Bible and hold it above your head and bear witness of God's Word. Turn it around and show it to the person behind you, the person beside of you. You may be seated, please. It's a different way to worship. Having to go through some safety precautions. And believe me, I've heard everybody's opinion. But it's my responsibility to lead. And so in that, I'm saying that if it requires a sacrifice to come and worship, then a sacrifice is what we need to make. It lets people be able to come and worship. And sometimes, you know, you can't share everything that you know. But if you knew some of the families that have dealt with different issues from this, extenuating circumstances, people with underlying conditions, people that want to be able to worship but have to safeguard because of the unknown, no matter what your opinion is, it makes a way for them to come and worship. It makes a way for us to worship together. Plus, it is important how people see the church behaving. And if you say, well, the church shouldn't behave by bowing into some kind of stipulation, well, there's a lot of churches now are not focusing on what they should be focusing on because earlier on they didn't focus on the right thing. And so I'm just trying to be safe. And of course, as we stated last week, nobody understands everything about it. So I'm trying to do the right thing. And I'm sure that it's not going to appear to be the right thing to everybody, but I would rather do it this way and allow people to worship and not have some people in here that might feel inconvenienced by it than do it the other way and not have people in here that could worship because they're just trying to safeguard their own health. And so that's the decision that we made, and that's what we're going with. And to do the right thing, in my mind, is not what I think. It's the way God leads me. So this wasn't something that came with just a random thought. I think there are pros and cons. Of course, the con is that we have to wear a mask. We're distancing apart. We're taking temperatures. We're doing all those things. But I can tell you a couple of positive things. Number one, God blesses the sacrifice. So if you're sacrificing to do it, He will bless you for it. And He will bless you even abundantly more because you are doing it. The other thing is, did you hear how good you sang with mask on? And before this started, all I heard was, how in the world are we going to sing with mask on? Did you see how good you sang with mask on? Here's why. And I want everybody to admit now. How many people sing sometimes lower with a lack of confidence because you're not afraid your mouth is going to say the exact right word when you sing it? But nobody can see your mouth now, so your mouth's just going. You're singing whatever, and it all sounds the same, and everybody else's words are covering your words, so you can just sing, right? Let me get a witness. How many people are singing now because nobody can see your... Exactly. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll start here, but we'll have several places in Scripture that we're going to go tonight, being that it's Wednesday night Bible study. And we're going to continue our lesson on right back here at the back. Right there. Cameron, right at the back. We're going to continue our message on staying consistently connected. We've talked about this for the last couple of weeks. And we began in John chapter 15. And we read where Jesus was showing us the picture of Him being the true vine and us being the branches. We're not going to revisit that whole passage of Scripture, but there are key points in that passage of Scripture where He's showing us the connection. The branch connected to the vine. And then He's showing us the importance of abiding in Him. If you abide in me and I abide in you. And He keeps talking about abiding, which is continuing in. And then we get to verse 9 of chapter 15. And it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. So to continue is to stay connected to Him. And that's the picture He's wanting to give us. Now, it won't ever be Jesus that breaks connection with us. In all these times, it's us that breaks connection with Him. So, He doesn't have to remind Himself, but He does give us something to go by. And He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, and continue in my love as I've continued in the Father's love. I've been obedient to Him, so that's let me stay in His love, meaning stay in His favor, stay in good communication with Him. So He's saying, you do the same. But this word, continue in my love. Well, there would never be a time where I would admit to you freely over these past years. And, you know, I accepted the Lord over 40-some years ago. And during those 40 years, there are times when I have become disconnected to Jesus. And of course, eyebrows raise when you say that in a church that believes in eternal security. And I'm still somebody that believes in eternal security. Jesus didn't unconnect me. I unconnected myself. Anybody else in here ever done that? I didn't lose Him. I drifted away. He was there, and He has told me in this passage and told you, abide in me. That means stay constant, continue in my love. The key thing here is to be consistently connected. But if you go through life not focusing on your connection with Him, then you will become unconnected, disconnected. We have to be intentional to stay consistently connected. It won't just happen while we're busy doing life. There's a lot of us that had good intentions, but doing life doesn't mean you have to do something bad. It just means that you become so overwhelmed with what's in front of you to do for today, what your plans are, what went right, what didn't go right, that you forget your connection. You use it just for a time to come to God and express the things that you need to have differently, have happened differently in your life. That becomes your prayer time. You're not really connected. It becomes a wish list when you go to God, and then you put it away, and you don't pick it back up until the next time. You know, we started talking about this weeks ago, and all these messages led to this. You remember the time where we were talking about coming to Him and at nighttime and getting clean right before we went to sleep, being right with God while we slept, and then getting up and going the whole day not right with Him? We're okay sometimes with not being connected, as long as we know where we can find Him at when we go back to find Him, right? We have to be intentional to stay consistently connected. You say, well, if I'm connected, why do I need to be consistently connected? Well, God says that we please Him when we bear fruit, much fruit. You can't bear the fruit for God if you're not connected to the vine. The branch can't bear fruit in and of itself, He said in this. Now, to abide is to stay constant. But the other reason is a consistent connection is required by God if we want to be used by Him as a vessel of honor. We talked about this, so in introducing the study back again tonight, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, "But in a great house there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth, and some of honor, some of dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." And then he goes on to say, "Flee youthful lust, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call Lord out of a pure heart." He goes on to say, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance, acknowledgement of the truth." And so he's trying to tell us how we can go out and be used by Him. We began to talk about this in these past weeks. And when we see a picture of a vessel, we think of something that something goes into. Maybe you're thinking about a pitcher that's a vessel that you can pour out of, or a bowl that's a vessel. But he's talking about a vessel of honor. And he's encouraging us to be a vessel of honor, meaning it's a vessel that God would want to use. It's highly favored by God. It would be his go-to vessel. And we read at some point in time, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that we are just earthen vessels. But God has put in these earthen vessels a light. And it's not the vessel that's supposed to be getting the glory. It's the light inside of the vessel that's supposed to be getting the glory. And sometimes Christians trip on this in our zeal to try to serve the Lord. We begin to basically shine our own light instead of his light. You see, it's what gives us value is what's in us. It's not what we are. God asks us to set ourselves apart, to be used as a vessel for him, not a vessel used for waste and then used for him. So in order to be consistently connected, we've got to be consistent in keeping ourselves as a vessel clean. God looks at us, and he makes no bones about it in the scripture. He wants us purified. We can't even come to God and pray with sin in between us. If you go back and research through the entire Old Testament, where you see a picture, not us coming to God through the Holy Spirit, which to us is invisible. We know it happens, but if you want to see a picture of it, watch how God told them to approach him back in the Old Testament, when you had the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, the most holy place, the priest, and the way they had to sanctify themselves, the way they had to come to God, and the way the people had to come to God. It was a matter of cleanliness. And a lot of it had to do with physical cleanliness, because it was a representation of the inner cleanliness. But the inner cleanliness, well, that's due to repentance. That's asking God to forgive us, and we have to come to God clean today. And a lot of us think that we can come to God clean as Christians. We think we can come to God clean, but we haven't really purged our vessel. And so, I look and I think to myself, if I'm going to be a vessel of honor, if Jesus is going to present me to the Father, how is he going to present me? If I was going to introduce my friend to someone, and I knew all these things about my friend, the way they had treated our friendship, the inconsistency that they had, how would I present them to you? Would I need to embellish, say some things about them that weren't really true to make them sound good? Well, Jesus doesn't embellish. Jesus presents you to Father God every time you go and pray. And Jesus will present you to Father God at the judgment. And then you and I, if we're Christians, we will be presented in turn back to Jesus Christ as the bride. The Bible shows us all these times. Now, in all these areas, I've failed. Maybe you have too. But on your day, in your daily life, you're presented by Jesus. At the judgment seat, you'll be presented by Jesus. And when the bride is presented to him, after we're raptured into heaven, you're presented again. The thought I want you to have in your mind about being consistently connected. How do you think Jesus will present you? That's a sobering thought, isn't it? You know he's going to tell the truth. Am I that person that happened to check in once in a while and only when it was in my best interest and the world had fallen out from under me? Am I a person that chose to come and worship him once every couple of weeks, or maybe just that Sunday person that said, my week's busy, but I can give you this hour on Sunday? And I'm the person that prayed when I remembered, or I made sure at mealtime. But there wasn't really any real relationship there. How will he present me? That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You see, until we do a Bible study about being consistently connected, we'll go right back out here tomorrow doing life and become disconnected because we're not focused on it. I'm telling you, we have to be intentional to be consistently connected. Intentional. That means we have to do our part. We're not going to become disconnected from God through Jesus because of their fault. It will be us that becomes disconnected because we become connected to something else. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll read these first 7 verses. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk, that means how you want to do your daily life, how your normal actions are, how you ought to walk and please God, so that you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Sanctification means you're setting yourself apart. That you should abstain from fornication, and that's sexual immorality. And we talked about that a little last week. Sexual immorality is any kind of sexual impurity outside of the marriage. That's husband and wife. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So this goes right with 2 Timothy, talking about how we're supposed to carry out in this physical body that we live, us bearing fruit for God. Not in the lust, and we've got in the King James it says, in concupiscence, which is the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. That means they do whatever feels good. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. So he doesn't just talk about sexual immorality. He talks about how you conduct your life doing the right thing to your fellow man. Not being deceitful. Not taking advantage of people. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have all forewarned you and testified. Now listen to verse 7. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. He didn't call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Now, God called you to Him. How many people came when God called you? That means you've accepted the Lord as your Savior. He didn't call you to keep living the way you were living, which is unclean, which is compared to the Gentiles, which do whatever feels right. He called you to holiness, which is how God wants you to live. So, in saying this, understand that Paul's telling us we're responsible in keeping our vessel, our bodies, which include our minds. We're responsible in keeping our vessels clean so that we can be a vessel of honor that God can use. He says we should know how to possess this vessel in sanctification and in honor. Now, we're going to go back to several passages of Scripture, but one that's real near where you're at, I think it's worth looking at. If you just turn a couple of pages over to Titus chapter 1. Does anybody have a problem with going to a lot of places in the Bible on a Bible study? Good. Titus chapter 1. Paul writes to Titus, this witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, listen, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Did you hear what he said? He said they profess that they know God, but in their works they deny Him. What a huge statement. You know, that would have been the way that Paul would have described me at one time. What about you? I would have clearly professed that I know God. But if you would have looked at my works, which he does, then I would have been denying him with my works. You see, our actions are the way that we possess our vessel. Of course, we have the language in what we profess and what we say, but it's what we do. Now, he tells us what to do, what not to do. And if you went back to that 2 Timothy chapter 2, well, you know the verse. We've quoted it a lot. He begins in telling them to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Meaning that, hey, if you want to know what to do, and if you want to know the direction God wants you to go in, if you want to know what he says is right, what he says is wrong, if you want to know God better, you go to the Word. You go to the Word. You don't just go to the Word and pick it up. You go to the Word and study to show yourself approved. And the study here means that you're looking diligently into it, not just reading this chapter this day. If this chapter opens your mind, then read that chapter 3 days. Let God speak to you. That's studying. That's spending more time. And when I'm saying study, I want you to get a picture of it. You see, if you see something that you're looking at and you take a glance at it, well, you've looked at it. Do you understand? When I met my wife, I was interested in her. And I didn't just glance at her and look at her. I studied her. What does that mean? I looked deeper into it. I looked and I studied the way she looked. I even studied the way she walked because I didn't want a lazy woman. I wanted to see that she walked good and fast. I studied how she kept her house. I studied. I didn't just look and say, oh, well, she's a nice girl. No, I studied it. See, I'm wanting this to stick in your memory. Why? Because if you want a relationship with God and be consistently connected, you need to, he's saying, study. Look deeper into that word. Now, back in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, there's things we do. He tells us to study. He tells us to pray. He tells us to fellowship. He tells us all these things to do. And us Christians, we try to have that stuff covered. But here's what we forget. Along with what we do, it's what we fail to do that makes us become disconnected. And what we fail to do is purge out the wrong things. And so I want you to look at verse 21 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I think when I'm reading this about the child that stands in front of me, or when I stood in front of my parents and I said, and I was in trouble for doing something wrong, and I reminded them, at least I didn't do this. Like I was thinking, hey, you should be focusing on what I didn't do. You ever had your child tell you that? Well, at least I didn't do this. They're not thinking about what they did. And sometimes as Christians, we get like that. We say, we want to do all these right things, but we're forgetting we've got this thing in our life that we're just continuing to do that we're not doing anything about. He says, verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared for every good work. When we talk about purging here, he's talking about being intentional to purge the wrong stuff out of us. Our Christian life is a continual work of making sure that we're a vessel that God can use and he wants to use. We need to continually ask ourselves if we're consistently connected to God. But the way to do this is to abide with him, be consistent with him, continually ask him to show it to us, but then be ready when he shows us something in our physical life that's not glorifying him to get rid of it. And none of us want to talk about it, but maybe in a group setting here, we can all be honest together. How many people have been convicted of something in your life that you know that you shouldn't be doing? It's not glorifying God. Maybe it's not helping your marriage. Maybe it's not being able to teach your children the right way. Maybe it puts evil thoughts in your mind. Maybe it puts you in a place to where you're discontent. You know you shouldn't be doing it. And you're convicted about it. But you stayed convicted about it, and you thought in your mind, well, I'm trying to do everything I can. I'm working on this thing. I'm working on it. But you refuse to ever put it away. Has anybody been like that before? Thank you for being honest. It helps the person beside it to deal with their stuff when they see people be honest. You see, we have a hard time purging things out of us because we have a mindset, get this, we have a mindset that all these other things that we do make us this vessel he could use. But we're forgetting when he would go to pick us up, there's this big dirty spot in the bowl that we've refused to clean. We've cleaned everything, but we've refused to clean this one spot in the bowl. And to us, it's okay because the rest of us are clean, but it's not, as Paul said, meet for the master's use. So the only way that we can be sure of this is to be consistently talking to him, consistently worshiping him, consistently hearing his preached word or his taught word, consistently reading his word, consistently praying him, consistently witnessing for him, consistently serving him. What does all that amount to? Being consistently connected to Jesus. If you do the things I've told you, and understand, you can do every one of those things while you hold down a full-time job working overtime. You can do every one of these things while you have multiple kids. Every one of these things you can still do with your life as busy as you can. But if you do those things, then immediately you'll be able to judge between the peace or lack of peace whether you're doing what God wants you to do. If you're consistently talking to that person you have a relationship with, then you'll know how you are with them, won't you? You see, it's when we become disconnected and get away from God that we have this idea that he's pleased with the majority of things we're doing and we're working on this thing. It's important to be clean, to stay connected. You're saying you're talking like somebody that stays clean. I'm talking to you like somebody that stays convicted. You see, conviction happens when you keep having the conversation. What I'm telling you to do, you don't judge me, I don't judge you. Jesus judges us all. So what I'm telling you to do is open yourself up for the conversation. If you're in his word, if you're hearing his word taught, if you're praying to him, if you're having conversation, you'll know that that thing that you've got in your life needs to be cleaned out. You'll know whether you're connected or not. It'll be as clear as night and day to you. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. I want you to see this simple verse out of the mouth of Jesus. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Why is it important that we read this? Well, I want to go back about 5 minutes ago when we were talking about Jesus presenting us. Now, Jesus has made an emphatic statement here. If in this life you deny me, then I will deny you in front of my Father. So if we see that's the principle in Jesus' mind, it's a fair principle. He gives you this whole life to profess him, to live for him, to be connected to him. If you choose to refuse his salvation, then he'll deny you in front of your Father. And that's as deep as we look at that verse, but that's not as deep as looking at Jesus' intent when he said it, because understand, this is the way the mind of Jesus works. He's saying, if you deny me, then I'll deny you before your Father. Okay, let's say you didn't deny him, you accepted his salvation. So you accept him. You didn't deny when the Holy Spirit spoke and said you need to get saved. You accepted that. But then you lived your Christian life denying the opportunity to profess him in front of other people, or denying the opportunity to talk to him, to serve him, to pray to him, to read his word. You denied him in your daily life. Well, if the same principle holds true, then How is Jesus supposed to profess our works to the Father when through our works here on earth we've denied Him? He made us into a vessel to honor Him. If we deny the opportunity to honor Him, how's He supposed to present me to the Father? Here's someone that accepted your grace, Father, but denied the works you had for him. Humbling. Well, I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm here to tell you the incentive to staying connected. Do you mean, Pastor, if you stay connected, you'll never make a mistake? Well, it hadn't been that way with me. Been that way with you? No. It's the connection. I made the mistake, but when I'm connected, I realize when I make it. When I'm disconnected, I don't realize that I made it until several other things have fallen apart. Let's think about how important this is. You see, as a vessel of honor, you're supposed to bear this fruit. And I think a great place to look is in the book of Colossians. And if I take you to the book of Colossians, I want to tell you, when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Colossae, he was excited for them. Here's a church that started, and he saw them growing, a growing church. Now, if you're a growing church, you're connected, right? You're hearing the word, you're growing, you're increasing your knowledge of God. And so he writes in Colossians chapter 1. And I want to read you just the first couple of verses because it's hard to skip over these verses. Colossians 1. Paul says, verse 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, this sounds like the same God that wrote 2 Timothy, doesn't it? And it sounds like the same Lord that saved him on the Damascus Road that told him that God's only pleased if he bears fruit. He's telling these people, Paul, being this missionary, this minister, says, my prayer, my desire for you is that you're filled with the knowledge of God's will. How in the world do you have the knowledge of God's will? You can't please God unless you're living in His will. It's as simple as we can make it. You can't live in His will unless you're consistently connected to Him, hearing Him, letting Him speak to your heart. You won't know His will. You'll switch from His will to your own will. I will and you will. We'll have His will in mind, but if we become disconnected, we'll wrap His will around our will. I will and you will. Paul goes on. And he expounds on it. He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord. What do you mean walk worthy? Jesus Christ went through an inordinate amount of suffering and sacrifice for 33 and a half years, which culminated in His death and brutal crucifixion, so that you could be with Him. He wants you to walk worthy of the sacrifice made to you. Walk worthy of Him. Unto all pleasing. And how do you walk worthy? Being fruitful in every good work. All this goes back to how connected you are. And I take you back to the simple thing I've asked you a lot of times. How many people accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, but then you became infrequent in your worship, infrequent in your prayer, infrequent in your Bible reading, and you slipped away? How many people? Every time. You can't stay connected. It might be for some reason that you have. The church did this to me, or this person in the church did this to me, or I don't like the way the pastor did this, or I don't like the way this happened. Like, we could come up with any reason for our disconnection. But if you're continuing to be connected, let's say your church failed you. If you're continuing to be instant in prayer, continue to be instant in your Bible reading, continue to be instant in your serving, in your witness, you know what? You'll find a church that you can be connected with. It's when we become disconnected with all those things going down to verse 21 through 23 of Colossians, Paul already set the scene. He said that you could increase, verse 10, in the knowledge of God. That gives me a stepping stone here to these last verses. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Do you know, if you can go every day in this life and learn more about God, do you realize as a Christian, you will have peace in your life? Because the more you learn about Him, the more you realize He's going to take care of these things that you ordinarily would worry about. The more you learn about God and who He is, the more you know that He's got your life in the palm of His hand under His control. You'll learn that His will is not for you to be sad and go through this life. His will for you is for you to have joy in this life so you can be a light that shines. The more you learn about Him, the closer you get to Him. To where, you know, you just want to hear something that He said. You just want to sing praise to Him. You want to have your little time with Him. You think it's great when you can just find the time to get with Him and open His Word because you know He's going to show Himself to me today. He's going to show Himself to me today, right? You can't wait to get around God's people because that Spirit that comes in here. When you increase in the knowledge of God, your life gets a lot better. When you get disconnected, what happens is you get to a place where you have to come back to Him. And when you have to come back to Him, the reason that you come back to Him is because He's the only constant thing in this world that won't disappoint you. He's right there. So why leave Him in the first place? Well, here's why. You don't mean to. You become disconnected doing life. So what do, Pastor? You have to be intentional to stay connected. Why do you think we have the services we have here? Why do you think we're always talking about, well, there's this opportunity, that opportunity? Why are we trying to meet in here with masks on? No, we could just say, well, we won't do it now. Why are we trying to set everything up and do it? Because it's important that we stay connected. Verse 21 through 23. I want to talk about these verses. I'll read them first and section to you. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you, look at this, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Big word in verse 23. Say it with me, the first word. Say it again. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Verse 21. He said, you used to be separated from God, alienated from God. We all know, and I've said it plenty of times, we know our sin separates us from God. But once we're saved, we're brought into a living relationship with God, which allows us to communicate with Him, especially through prayer. Paul said the same thing in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. I'll read this to you. Listen to these words, how similar they sound. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope without God in this world. And he's speaking to some Gentiles here. You weren't a part of the covenant that God even made with His children, His promised children. You were alienated from God. You were separated from God. You were not connected to God. But now, verse 13, but now, Christ Jesus. But now, in Christ Jesus. Now, we're getting back to the abiding in Christ Jesus. Now, in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes were far off. You're made nigh by the blood of Christ. That means you're brought close because of what He did, for He is our peace. Who's made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. These passages, Colossians 1, Ephesians 2, speak of who we used to be and who we are now. Now, I want to tie all this in to being consistently connected. Who we used to be was somebody that was alienated, he said, separated, disconnected. We weren't apart. But now, we are. So let's think about the moment of salvation. At the moment of salvation, you came from being disconnected to connected. Amen? That connection needs to stay intact from our part. We can't just be satisfied that the connection was made. We have to maintain the connection. You're not going to lose your salvation. You're going to lose your connection. Your connection to Him. You see, He did the work of salvation. The work of salvation was all Jesus. It was nothing that we did. So He did His part. His part can't fail. But the connection part can fail. So He speaks of who we were, who we are now. And in verse 22, we read that Jesus gave His body so that if you accept it by your belief, then, and get this, big phrase, He can present you to God. After we're saved, Jesus presents us, get this now, as holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Now, who are we kidding? How in the world can He present me as holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight? You see, when we get saved through the work of Jesus, He separates us from our sin. He sets us apart to God. And this is the beautiful thing, and we don't explain this enough. We just tell people, you need to get saved because Jesus died for you. Doesn't make sense to people. They don't go back and realize that God put a sacrificial structure in place that required a blood covenant. We don't go back and explain those things to them. Why do we need to? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. They don't understand that you have to have Him forgive your sins. I listened to a lady today that told me, I went to church all my life, and you know, I read my Bible. Being saved was foreign to her. The details of salvation are important. Here's what I want to show you. Paul's being intentional here to tell us that verse 22, that you didn't just get saved. Jesus saved you, and then He has to be able to present you as something that you don't have the power to be, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Jesus uses His righteousness. We call it imputed righteousness. In other words, He uses His righteousness to declare us righteous since we're not righteous. That's how He can present us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. This is what we call justification. If God looked at me, He would see a loser, a sinner, a cheat, a liar, somebody that had impure thoughts. Oh, don't judge me. You're the same way. But when Jesus presents me, He presents me as His. He's covered in my blood, Father. So when He presents me, He presents me as His. So when He presents me, He has to present me under His righteousness, under His sinless nature. He can present me as His because I'm covered by His blood. My sins are covered by His blood. We're confident in that. We love that thought, but I want to go a little deeper for you, okay? That was great on the night that He saved me. But what about 10 years after, 20 years after, 30 years after? How's He going to present me then? We thank and we glorify God. He's going to present me this way because Jesus covers all this. Well, then I'm accountable for my sin after I get saved. We forget that, Christians. He saved me. He washed me clean from my sins. But do you know what? There's something called the judgment seat of Christ. I'm accountable for those sins. And even today when I go to pray, I'm accountable for the sins after I get saved. We can't just put all this smoke and mirrors up and just say, hey, he's got us and Jesus washed us clean. We've got to continually be intentional to stay consistently connected to him. Why? Because Jesus presents us not just at the judgment seat, not just one day, but every day. And I'm that vessel. He's got to present that vessel to be used. Get this. As a result of a believer's union of Christ, or union with Christ, by the believer accepting Christ's death, resurrection, God considers us believers as holy as his son Jesus. That blows my mind. How can the Father look at me and consider me holy, blameless, just because of Jesus? That's all. I have to come in Jesus' name whenever I come to the Father. And Father God is where your prayers end up. He gave you the Holy Spirit. That's him living inside of you. He gave you the Son to come and live for you, to die for you. But God in three persons, Father God, the Creator, the Sustainer, that's who you're going to. Jesus has to present you to the Father. And he presents you as holy, unblameable. How hypocritical do I feel if I'm living disconnected to God? How hypocritical should I feel, right? That's why this is so important. I want it to grab us tomorrow and the next day and not make you feel bad, but stop us in our tracks and say, this is not connecting me to God. This is disconnecting me. And so I don't want to be this, because every day you're getting presented. That's beautiful. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What is God's ultimate destiny for all of us? Now, we talk Sunday about what we're going to do here. God put us in this particular time, for such a time as this, to make a difference for him. And we need to focus on that. But do you know God's ultimate plan for you? To be in his presence. That's mind-blowing. But you can't be in his presence if you're unholy and blamable and unreprovable. So Jesus is telling us that he came so that we could be able to use his righteousness and be presented to God and spend eternity in heaven. So I'm skipping from this world to eternity. Now, you're going to be presented to God through Jesus. But what about what we do here on this earth? If there's no incentive for us to live any differently after we're saved than someone that is out here turning the world upside down for God, if there's no incentive for us to do that, we can live however wretchedly we want, then because we're just covered by God's grace, then what's the incentive? There is incentive. The incentive is that Jesus says, on a daily basis and at the judgment and at eternity, you're presented to God. Understand, we're not all going to be on the same level when we get to heaven. We want to think we are, but God would be made a laughing stock, wouldn't he? If you slipped through and got salvation and didn't live for him, and then at the end of all things, everything was just right, and you were right there, right beside a Billy Graham. Everything was just, you know, God just makes everything. No, God uses this life. Verse 22, and he says, he'll present us holy and unblameable. He's saying that, yes, we're using Jesus' righteousness, that imputed righteousness, but it matters how we live here. How many people believe it matters? If you don't believe it matters, then why would he ever have told us to sanctify ourselves and set ourselves apart for the Master's use? God's got a use for us here, but that use transcends into heaven. You see, we understand, even through reading 2 Corinthians 5, that Jesus was made sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But we need to have in our mindset that He's presenting us. And I like it in my mind to take it back to that place of saying, if I'm presenting somebody else, how am I going to present them? I've had to introduce a lot of people at different times. And sometimes you really stretch some things. Have you? I mean, I really don't want to introduce this person to somebody else this way. I don't want to tell them everything I know. But God knows all. So I have to be covered by Jesus' righteousness if He's going to present me at all. And at best, I can hope that He presents me as someone that accepted His salvation, who has tried. I have failed, but Father, He tried. He tried to set Himself apart from me. Don't you? Not as someone that accepted the salvation, but rested in us being covered just by Jesus and never tried. To try is to be intentional. And I can honestly say there are periods in my life when I didn't try to stay connected. And you probably can too. God rewards trying. He rewards being intentional. He rewards thinking of these things. Bible says in Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Meaning that God put in place our salvation. Nobody can undo it. Jesus covers our sin. Do you realize when you stand in front of God, there's not one other person that can accuse you? Jesus covers your sin. Philippians 2, 14 and 15, he says, do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. He's saying the way you live your life, not as a complainer, not as a murmurer, to live right in front of people matters because you're a light that shines in this world that you can represent, that you can be presented blameless. Did you hear what he says? He says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. If you were to read Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, I'll read it to you. Ephesians 5, he compares marriage to the church, but then goes on to say in verses 25 through 27, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water, by the word. Get this, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It matters how we look when He presents us. It matters. So our connection with God matters, or we won't be able to be presented. And it matters how we live our life. It matters how we speak. It matters what we watch. It matters what we see. It matters what we hear. It matters how we speak. It matters how we complain. It matters how we witness. Those are the bad things, but it matters how we pray. It matters how we worship. It matters how we edify. It matters how we encourage. It matters how we praise. It all matters. You say, well, you're loading us up. We're coming to church. You're telling us all these things. Yes, because it matters. And there's a lot of churches that have quit saying these things because they're not popular and they're not what people want to hear. But those people are disconnected from God. They're claiming they're connected, but they're disconnected. Now to end with this verse 23, I think it's interesting, Colossians 1:23. Paul has already described how we have to be reconciled to God by His blood, how His righteousness has to be imputed to us, how He wants us to present us to God as holy. And we know that we're going to be the pure bride presented to Christ. So how many of you right now, how many of you feel pure enough and holy enough to be presented to God right now? So notice verse 23. And this is the point Paul makes. You don't need to just accept the salvation of God. You need to continue in it. Continuing means consistently connected. I'm not talking about the connection that happened back in 1972. I'm talking about continuing in the connection. He says, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, if you continue in faith. This was an if that started this statement. We don't like to think there's conditions, but he says this. He wants to present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if you continue in faith, grounded and settled. It's a big if. How can he present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight? You say, well, hey, this if doesn't matter because Jesus covers all of us. Jesus covers you so that you can receive that gift of salvation that God gave you through his death. But do you realize you're accountable for your sin after you're saved? You say, well, what about me going and him forgiving me now? He absolutely forgives you. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But you can't continue to live disconnected from him and he present you as something that you aren't. He can present you as saved, but he can't present you as set apart. The vessel has to be set apart. And it takes intentionality on the vessel to say, I want to be connected with you. It means making time, saying, you know what? My day is busy, so I'm going to carve out me 30 minutes here, and I'm just going to talk to the Lord for this 30 minutes and read my Bible. Lord, I'm going to be intentional. You realize how good your day will be if you do that? How good it will be? God will honor that. Why? Because you're trying to be that vessel. You're trying to stay connected. You know your day is going to lead your mind, but you're trying. God will say, this is my servant who messed up so many times. Jesus said, this is your servant who messed up so many times. My blood covered him at salvation, but he's tried. So I present him to you. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Well, how can he do that? Because that person that's consistently connected was sincere when they were convicted and they went back each time and asked for forgiveness. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for the time you've given us. I pray, God, that you would let this resonate in our minds so that we would know, God, how important our consistency is with you. I pray, God, that you would let us see ourselves even today and tomorrow as somebody that you're presented every day. Father, let us be able to see, Lord, a picture of us being presented to you by Jesus, knowing what he did for us, and he's introducing us, Lord, at prayer time. Let us look ahead to the future judgment, how he introduces us at the time of judgment, and in heaven forever, Lord, how we will be presented to you. We know we're covered by his blood. We know that righteousness of Jesus covers us, but Father, let us see what we're doing in our connection in Jesus.